Let's talk to Renato Mariotti now, though. We want to. There was a glitch in the Amy Coney Barrett hearing. I guess they have a technical glitch, but they're about to resume questioning on Capitol Hill. It's the final day of questioning, right, Renato? And you know, it's how would you say it's going so far? What's your perspective and take on this?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's going quickly. I think you're kind of alluding to that by talking about how many days it is, and that's in part due to the proximity to the election. And I would also say it seems fairly apparent to me that Democrats know that they're not going to be able to hold this up, and so they're using this as an opportunity to highlight ways in which this confirmation, potential confirmation, would impact voters. And so I think that's really what I see happening here.
Yeah, I mentioned at the top of the show, I thought she was unflappable but noncommittal. And now Democrats say the noncommittal part is non-answering. And Amy Coney Barrett has said in her defense that, I'm not going to weigh in on previous court decisions, and I'm also not going to speculate about how I might rule in the future until I hear arguments. Is that fair? Would you compare that to other Supreme Court nominees, and is that typically the way it's acceptable?
I would say it's not unlike what other nominees have done. It's also a bit of a game, okay? It's kind of, there's a bit of BS to it in the sense that I think she has lots of thoughts on a lot of issues, and if you look up some of her writings and speeches, she's talked about those things in the past. But nominees tend to try to get through this process while saying as little as possible and play it safe. I mean, they have the votes to confirm her. She just needs to not screw up. And so it's in her interest to sort of play defense. So I would regard it as a strategically smart move, but it definitely doesn't provide much information to the public.
Okay, we have a little bit of sound here because Senator Durbin, I think, provided some of the most interesting questioning during these hearings. As you point out, it became a lot of political posturing on both sides, really sort of trying to highlight things that voters need to hear before the election. But Senator Durbin asked a couple of things. Asked her about guns. She said she does own a gun. They mentioned that the flow of guns from Indiana, her home state, into Chicago is part of the problem. And she has actually held a view in an actual ruling, I believe, about felons convicted of violent crimes. Crimes should lose their gun rights. But then she said that, unfortunately, you need to really hold that to a standard of who's convicted of a violent crime and who's not, who you're restricting and who you aren't. So not totally firm in the answer there. But the other thing he asked her about was, has she seen the George Floyd video?
Have you seen the George Floyd video?
I have.
What impact did it have on you?
Senator, as you might imagine, given that I have two black children, that was very, very personal for my family. Jesse was with the boys on a camping trip out in South Dakota, so I was there, and my 17-year-old daughter, Vivian, who's adopted from Haiti, all of this was erupting. It was very difficult for her. We wept together in my room. And then it was also difficult for my daughter, Juliet, who's 10. I had to try to explain some of this to them. I mean, my children to this point in their lives have had the benefit of growing up in a cocoon where they have not yet experienced hatred or violence. And for Vivian, you know, to understand that there would be a risk to her brother or the son she might have one day of that kind of brutality has been an ongoing conversation. It's a difficult one for us, like it is for Americans all over the country.
I'd say that's the most emotional moment of the hearing so far, and perhaps most poignant.
Yeah, I thought it's interesting. It's definitely him asking questions that I think he didn't know the answers to. In other words, I think a lot of senators are using this as an opportunity to either educate the public about the impact that they mentioned earlier, or also just to educate her, because she will be making these decisions on what the impact would be on voters. But here you had Senator Durbin asking a question I don't think he actually knew the answer to. And it was an interesting response that revealed something about her. I think we don't know for sure how she'll be on the court, although there's a lot of signals as to what she would be doing.
Yeah. Did you hear the part about guns? She said she did own a gun, and Durbin was also asking about, you know, kind of weighing the rights of felons to own a gun versus, restoring their ability to vote and how you should view all those kinds of things. What'd you make of that part, Renato?
Well, it's very interesting to me because the individual right, the fact that the Second Amendment upholds an individual right to own a firearm is fairly new. It's something that came into being while I was a federal prosecutor, I think a decade or so ago. So definitely, in fact, less than a decade or so ago. So it definitely something where we're going to see more decisions coming out that are going to potentially expand that prior ruling or not. And she would be a key vote in determining the extent to which felons would be able to say, no, you can't, for example, imprison me based on the statute because I have a constitutional right to own a firearm. So definitely, I think, an important issue and one that people aren't focused enough on in the course of these hearings.
You also, I wonder what you think about when she was asked, the other point where she showed emotion was when she was asked, I can't remember which senator, asked her to hold up her paper, like the notepad she had in front of her, because he said, all of us have copious notes up here and we've got tons of stuff to read off of. What do you have there? And she kind of held it up and sort of smiled and said, nothing. There's nothing on her notepad. Were you surprised about mm-hmm. that? Is that how they go in? That seemed very impressive to me.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised that she doesn't have notes. Because I would, if I was advising her, I always advise witnesses, and I advise witnesses a lot in my law practice. I advise them never to have notes because the other side may ask to see them. So that's exactly the right thing. I do think, I think that Judge Barrett is an impressive person. I think she's a smart person. I don't think anyone should doubt that. And I think that, which is, you know, she's certainly shown that during the hearing. And I would just say that, she's not providing lots of specifics that would be hard for her to recall. In other words, it's not like her memory of event, you know, she's reciting War and Peace from memory. What she's doing is talking about things that, you know, I think for someone in her position as a federal appellate judge should and would know. And as you mentioned earlier, she's sort of declining to answer a lot of things. And part of that is, because she's working sort of without notes and she's getting a lot of attention paid to every word she says, she's being careful. And today we saw she tripped up on the five freedoms in the First Amendment, and people are making an issue out of it. And I think that's silly because she knows that. It's just she's trying to remember a lot of things at once. So I think her safe approach probably goes hand in hand with her not using notes and so forth.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good thing to have written down on the paper, right? It wouldn't come across well. And that's interesting that you're right. They could just say, hey, what do you got there? Hold it up. Show us what you have. I just thought she'd be taking notes as it goes along, you know, just sort of like to circle back to things that someone mentioned in a lengthy line of questioning or something like that. But you would advise against that too?
I would. My advice to her would be to say as little as possible and try to get through it. I mean, she has nothing to gain and everything to lose from her answers because the Republicans already have the votes. They've decided that they have the votes. They wouldn't be doing this if they didn't. And so all she has to do is get through this without anything that's so embarrassing that it's going to change the course. And so I wouldn't be thinking about the last question. I wouldn't be writing notes. I wouldn't be trying to get anything more in. I would try to the smart strategy for her is to say as little as possible, and that's what she's doing. Now, obviously, that's not in the public's interest. As I said, there's an element of BS involved in these hearings because the nominees say very little, and it's very opaque and so on. And what we usually find out is that there's some agenda behind it, or we have to kind of decipher from past writings. But I think it's a smart strategy, and she's executing it.
Yeah. Look, I have a couple more things I want to ask you, Renato. You got a few more minutes for us?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Of course.
I do want to ask you about, you mentioned the speed with which this is moving. Is there a chance, any chance, and don't answer it yet, that this gets delayed until after the election? I also want to play some audio about probably the most controversial and polarizing line of questioning so far. That's coming up here on WGN with former prosecutor Renato Mariotti. With former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti as we discuss the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. Back in business, the technical glitch worked out. They're questioning her once again, senators are. Final day of questioning, and we mentioned the speed about with which this is going and how that's in Republicans' benefit to get this done quickly. Is there any chance that this would actually go beyond the election, or you think this will be wrapped up and she'll be confirmed before? What would you say about that?
Well, and Lindsey Graham is the chair of the committee, and other Republicans have indicated that this is going to get done before the election. And they control the timing since they control, they have the votes in the Senate. So I would anticipate that this will happen before the election unless something really drastic happens, like another COVID-19 outbreak. Although I will note that, you know, Mike Lee tested positive and he was there without a mask on in the committee room, and and Lindsey Graham refused to be tested. So I think even COVID-19 isn't holding things up. So it would take a lot for that to be delayed. But I should note that even if this was delayed until after the election and the Republicans lost the Senate, they would still have until January to get this done before losing their majority.
We also I also referenced the more controversial or polarizing test, or I guess it was questioning would be a better way to say it, from Senator Hirano from Hawaii. We have a little bit of the audio from that exchange here.
To ensure the fitness of nominees for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench or to any of the other positions for any of the committees on which they appear, I ask each nominee these two questions, and I will ask them of you. Since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors or committed any verbal or physical harassment or assault of a sexual nature?
No, Senator Hirono.
Have you ever faced discipline or entered into a settlement related to this kind of conduct?
No, Senator.
Judge Barrett, do you think it is appropriate for justices to consider real-world impacts in their decision-making, as Justice Ginsburg noted in a number of her dissents?
Well, Senator, the doctrine of stare decisis.
To ensure the fitness.
Cut off there a little bit, but from what you heard there, it seemed as if she elicited the most emotion from Republicans in particular, who thought some of that line of questioning was unfair because there was no evidence of any sexual harassment or sexual the allegations that she was bringing up. Is it all fair game when it comes to this sort of thing? What did you make of it?
You know, I guess I had a different perspective on it. What I thought happened is Senator Hirono has certain questions that she asked of every nominee. And even though it's absurd, frankly, to think that Judge Barrett was going to be sexually assaulting someone, very unlikely, let's just put it that way, given that she, you know, for all sorts of, I think, apparent reasons, she was asking those questions so the next time she has a male nominee in front of her, for example, she could ask those questions and say, I've asked this of every Supreme Court justice nominated in my X number of years in the Senate. I even asked Justice Barrett, and I'm asking you the same question.
So she's just checking a box there is what you're saying. That's how you saw it?
Yeah, and also, yeah, helping her for the future. So if it's a more controversial thing here, it's so out of the box that no one's taking that seriously.
She also mentioned real-world experience there. There was our Mayor Lightfoot herself weighed into this, and she mentions a legal term, originalist. I want to ask you about that. Here's a little bit of the audio from that.
Are you an originalist? you ask a gay black woman if she's an originalist? No, ma'am, I am not.
Could you explain that to those who might not understand?
Since the Constitution didn't consider me a person in any way, shape, or form, because I'm a woman, because I'm black, because I'm gay, I am not an originalist. I believe in the Constitution. I believe that it's a document that the founders intended to evolve, and what they did was set the framework for how our country was going to be different than any other, and whatever was there in the original language, that's it. Well, that language excluded now over 50% of the country.
Mayor Lightfoot very strong and passionate about her response about that. Amy Coney Barrett identifying as an originalist, is that how this all came up?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I will say certainly the mayor's correct that the Constitution, as it was written, did exclude over a majority of people who are now in the United States. I will say, obviously, it's been amended since then. But it is certainly the case. I mean, that is the sort of debate that we're having here. And I think it often comes down to that with nominees. In other words, Republicans nominate people who say they're originalists, and Democrats have an approach that's more similar to what Mayor Lightfoot said. I will just say, though, that I think the more concrete real-world consequences can often be more important and easier for people to get their head around, like the Affordable Care Act and so forth.
We'll see what happens, I because my guess would be there won't be many more fireworks. Would that be safe to say if you're going to sort of judge by what you've seen so far?
What I've seen so far, fireworks are not around Amy Coney Barrett at all.
Thank you, Renato. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for weighing in this afternoon.
Thank you.